From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, another edition of the Stakeholder Spotlight featuring the Worm. Bring them on shortly. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Why we say BleedBlueShow.com? Because that's where you could go for our audio archive episodes of the podcast of all the episodes we do for all the sports. You can go there for our schedule, our upcoming episodes each and every day on the Bleed Blue Show, the Forum for the Fans, where the stakeholders and great sports fans could sound off. Without further ado, we're going to bring this on right now. Spotlight featuring the Worm himself. Worm, sir, how you doing? How's everything? I know it's a great day for you, though. It's got to be.
Good. I'm very, very happy today. It's two big steps in the right direction.
No, you don't say. Get out of here. No way.
How are you doing today? How's your day going?
No, not bad. Pretty good. Pretty good. Let's get to the nuts and crannies of this thing. Let's start all over. Let's, let everybody know who you are, the teams you like, the teams you your fans of, the fan of what teams, and also you got a barbecue sauce that you're selling, and it's great stuff. Tell everybody how the information you can get to that, and then we can get into the news stuff. You know, the news that happened that you're excited about.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm the typical Giants fan, right? Giants, Yankees. And I have to mix in a New Jersey team in there. And I absolutely love my Jersey Devils. Always have, always will. So I'm the, one of the few Giants fans that isn't a Rangers fan. I rock my Giants blue. I rock my pinstripes. And I rock my Patrick Elias jersey. Basically what I do, game days, I'm in G16 at the stadium. We're right on the Pepsi gate. Come early, I'll have a shirt on. I'll be by the grill cooking some good stuff up. If you come a little later, I'm usually shirtless running around the parking lot having a good time. There every week. You can't miss us. Steve, I know you have a great time when you come, and it was nice seeing your dad a couple weeks ago. And then what I have now is I like to do a lot of cooking, and I like to experiment with, different things as I'm cooking. So I came up with a barbecue sauce. I was bored one night, and I was hungry, and I was making some pork ribs, and I'm like, let's try something. So I started mixing some things together. And I tossed the sauce on the ribs, cooked them up, and they were just outstanding. I'm like, you know what? Let me try to sell it at a tailgate, see what happens. And, we started cooking with it at the tailgate, with the Fan Van Party Bus. And people absolutely love the sauce. And I'm like, I'll bottle it. And I'll come up, I'll have my good friend DJ Chopper. He came up with a label for me. And we started selling it, and it's turned out pretty good. It seemed, really popular.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually at some point, I am going to try to get the FDA approval because I would like to get it in the stores. But there's, a lot of work that goes, into – because you got to send it out to, a lab and have all the nutritional facts put on it and stuff. And then from there, you got to send it to FDA for approval, and then, you'll have the – blessing to go out in the stores and stuff. So I'm really in the beginning stages right now. I'm trying to, get it moving, get going. It's just with the schedule I have, it's just hard to really put the time in that I really need to getting it all, out into stores. So I'm just sticking to selling it on the Fan Van's website at the moment and at tailgates. So if anybody were
website,
to want it, it would be.
Yeah. Spell out the website.
Yeah. It's, FanVan, FanVan, PartyBus, alloneword.com. If you go on, when you go onto the main site, you'll see top right corner this black square with like silverish, grayish color lines going through it. There should be three lines. That's the menu button. Click on shop, and you'll see a picture of, you know, my face in a circle, and it says Frank Eo's effing good barbecue sauce, tailgate tested for flavor. Click on there, and you can either, you have two options. One, I can ship it, or two, pick it up for me on game day at the stadium. I live in Piscataway, New Jersey, so if anybody lives close to me, I have no problem hand delivering it to your house, or we can meet up, have a drink, and you can pick it up for me at one of the bars in the area. Totally up to you. It's very easy, very accessible to get to, you know, for me to get it to you. And, you know, if you're having, you know, like a holiday party with, you know, friends or whatever, it'd be, you know, and you're a Giants fan, it'd be a cool little, you know, almost like a novelty piece to have, you know, on the mm-hmm. table if, you know, you're making some wings or, you know, you're doing a little barbecue, putting on, you know, brisket or making up some ribs or, you know, even pulled pork. A couple of my friends, you know, they put it on salmon steaks and they're like, it tasted really really great, cooked really well. You know, another good friend of mine, she was sitting on her couch watching TV, eating it with crackers. I'm like, that's kind of new. She was eating what she ate just about the whole jar with crackers.
Oh, my goodness. I never tried that.
She called me up. I wouldn't even think of trying it, but she was like, it's absolutely good with crackers. I'm like, I thought she was pulling my leg. I'm like, you're serious? She goes, yeah. I'm like, wow, okay. She's like, I'm going to need another bottle soon. I'm like, no problem, I'll get it to you. But yeah, I guess
I could. I took, as you already know, I already cooked it over the wings. It is phenomenal, man.
Yeah.
Especially over the coal. I'm a pro charcoal guy.
Yeah.
It cooked phenomenal over the wings that I had. It's perfect, man. It has a nice sweet taste to it too. A sweet smoky taste too. I love it, man. I love it. I'm almost down. I'm gonna have to re up on that. But it was phenomenal, man. But I never tried it with, like, crackers or, like, finger foods. Like, that might not be a bad idea when I'm one day when I'm not watching sports and I'm just trying to catch up on all my shows and just try to binge off of that. But not bad.
I mean, it may not be a bad – I mean, I haven't thought of using it as, you know, a dip for crackers or chips, but maybe that's another way to do it. It's, you know, a little universal.
Yeah.
I do, you know, use this dry rub when I – don't feel like making a sauce, you know, because putting my rub together makes, you know, it's easier to make. It takes a lot less time.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that happens to, you know, between this Sunday against Dallas and, you know, up to Christmas, you know, up to, you know, a couple days before Christmas, if anybody, you know, buys any of the sauce, I'll give you a sample of my the dry rub that I use when I'm outside barbecuing. If you like the sauce, the rub's even better. It comes out, it cooks really great, and it leaves like a, it's not the traditional dry rub where it's, you know, leaves the meat dry. It leaves almost like a glaze on the top of the meat. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's just, it's mouth-watering. It's really good. So, you know, that'll be available if anybody, you know, wants to get, you know, a cool gift for, you know, a friend that's a Giants fan. And you know, you don't even have to be a football fan or a sports fan. If you have a friend that enjoys cooking, likes barbecuing, you know, that's a cool gift to, you know, to give them. You know, my buddy does competition barbecuing, and you know, I had given him a jar because, you know, we feed each other. He'll feed me, I feed him, and, you know, he absolutely loved it as well. And he's, you know, he makes, like, phenomenal things, and he absolutely loved it. I think he put it on ribs back when I gave it to him a couple months ago and smoked it up. But, you know,
you said it goes great over the pork ribs. Now, the pork ribs is your preference, I assume, but is there other, like, if you had a top three for, it could go on anything, but if you had a top three on your preference on what is your sauce, what would it be?
I say pork ribs only because I find that, the pork meat is a little more tender, a little more juicy. That's why you always hear me saying pork ribs, because that's usually what I cook with. I would have to say ribs, chicken, and then for me personally, I would either have to say any type of, you know, like a London broil or, you know, like a brisket, you know, if you're going to do, you know, a brisket and toss it in your smoker. If I'm having seafood, I don't put barbecue sauce on it unless I'm doing barbecued shrimp. Other than that, I have a different sauce I use that I'm going to try to work on next year that I'll use for seafood. It's a sweeter, almost like a tropical blend. That'll be I'm looking to bring that out next season.
Indeed. Barbecue sauce, man. Sounds good. You selling it on the website, the Fan Van Online website as well. If you're not picking it up at the stadium, I recommend it. I think it's very good. Although I am more of a Texas style barbecue, it has more of a I think Carolina to it. And I loved it. And had bought a couple of those joints and definitely have to re up for sure. But you'll hear Worm usually on episodes talking the tailgate. And Matter of Fresh should be on in the next couple of games as well, as we have a few more home games left. So he'll definitely lay it out as far as what he's got popping when it comes to that point. Matter of fact, can you tell people, do you have an idea of what you have coming up for the next three home games, I guess, as far as tailgates, as far as what you're going to cook or with the barbecue sauce?
We have Dallas this week. It's usually we do a cowboy burger. They're all hand-padded. We'll have different spices we're putting in them, and then we usually do some type of either blue cheese crumbles in with the, you know, in with the chopped meat mix, or I think cheddar, and then I think the other one would be, I want to say either mozzarella or Swiss chunks. I don't remember. It's one of the two. And they're usually, you know, a great favorite. And then what we'll do is we'll have a, you know, fixing station. You know, you tell us what you want on it. We'll have, you know, onions and red sauce that will heat up. You know, we'll have fresh onions. We'll have mushrooms, lettuce, tomato, you know, whatever you want on it. We'll build your burger right in front of you. And then, you know, you can take it off, you know, take it and go chow down on it. That we'll be doing this week is going to be in the barbecue sauce. And then we'll have the normal, you know, the buffet spread like we normally have. We'll do the, you know, lasagna. We'll have the mac and cheese. We do have vegan options for people that are vegetarian. We'll have sausage and peppers. We'll have beef stroganoff. And then, you know, I know your favorite, we'll have the warm waffles for breakfast. and then if I remember to let Dave Matteo know, we usually do the deep fried French toast with the powdered sugar and syrup that I know people like as well. I don't know if I've made that when you were with me. I don't remember. And then we'll probably do, you know, a couple different appetizers, which would be usually mozzarella sticks. I know we still have pot stickers that we haven't cooked yet that are that I think we're going to bring out this week. And either wings or chicken fingers, which I'll have the barbecue sauce for people to, you know, to dip in. And I think that's it food wise. And then, you know, we'll have like the normal, the sandwich trays that we have with the turkey and the ham. And then we'll either have, that big brownie or the big, chocolate chip cookie that we cut up for everybody.
All right.
Yeah. And then the Philly game, it'll be almost the same thing. The only difference is what we're going to feature is the cheesesteaks because the cheesesteaks go over very well with everybody that attends. Everybody looks for the cheesesteaks every year. Washington, I'm not sure yet. I'm probably, if I had to take a guess, I would say something that has to do with like pulled pork, only because, you know, we'll do the kick the pig. So we'll probably do something with pulled pork. I think maybe either sliders, or we can do macaroni and cheese with pulled pork on the top, which is really good. Tastes really good.
Cool.
I was making sandwiches of that on because, I mean, we do tailgates for the Jets as well. I was making sandwiches on that on Sunday for the Jet fans, and they were just – we went through a whole tray of it. I think that's, you know, and of course, you know, I remind the Jet fans that, you know, you're still our tenants. And,
gotcha.
You know, this is still Giant Stadium. A couple of them had to be put in their place on Sunday. yeah, I don't even, you know, I don't let them get to me.
Gotcha. I was gonna ask you this because the last time we spoke, because we were going to, for those a lot of people don't know, we had an episode ready to go for yourself the other day, but because of what happened on Monday, the big news, we said no, we have to backtrack and update on what you said the other day. So how do you feel now based off what you were saying the other day on the possible firings of a certain head coach, a certain general manager, to where we are right now?
Basically right now, you know, I want to touch on the state of the Giants. And, you know, this is – everybody has their own opinions.
Yeah, take your time.
You know,
this is about your opinion.
This is, you know, how I feel. You know,
I mean, let me preface it like this, because the timing of you doing the spotlight for yourself, the stakeholder spotlight, the timing could have been any better. I mean, there's no better fan to have on in the fan base, the Giants fan base, than yourself discussing this. And not only discussing it beyond the 3 minutes, this is you know what I'm saying, really putting it the way you want to say it here on the stakeholder spotlight. So go ahead and fire away, man, of the state of the New York Giants through your eyes.
So now it's a complete circus. It's embarrassing. I've been a Giants fan since 97 when I got to meet Jason Sehorn at a charity softball game. They were playing, I think it was in Watchung or Warren, New Jersey, and they're playing the local, you know, PBA for a charity thing. And Jason Sehorn had, you know, his dog with him, his Dalmatian. And I got to, Lance Smith pulled me in, and I sat in between him and Jason Sehorn. I was playing with his dog the whole game. Mind you, I mean, I really didn't know who the hell these guys were at the time. And I'm like, I'm hanging out with New York Giants. And ever since then, I've been hooked with the Giants because of Jason Sehorn and Lance Smith. So I'm going to start at Willington Mara. John Mara. I don't know how it went down because, you know, I'm not behind the scenes with these guys, but this was absolutely handled horribly. This was as bad as PR nightmares you can possibly get. And I would have thought that John Mara would have learned from his father, Willington, when George Young decided to cut or release, however you want to put it, Phil Sims, and how that was and how terribly wrong that was handled. And this was handled really bad. I mean, now you have, you know, more social media, but, you know, John Mara, he needed to make this right. And he needed to take a step to make it right. And I think today with the firings, you know, from what I was able to listen to when he was on WFAN today, that these firings were going to happen at the end of the season. But to me, John Mara made the right choice in doing it now. Because if he would have waited, I think this game at Giants Stadium on Sunday would be very nasty with the outrage from the fan base towards the, you know, towards the ownership, towards the front office, and towards the coaching staff and the players in general. So I think what was done today was the correct decision, not to wait, just now. As far as Jerry Reese is going, we've known each other for a while, and I just, his drafting has been bad. You know, like I've said before, you know, if you're a GM, your first round selection, you should hit on almost 100% of the time. And I say almost 100% because this is a contact sport. Injuries can happen. So you can't, you know, you can't predict injuries. Your second to third round picks, you should be able to hit somewhere between 85 and 90% of the time. Any your fourth to, you know, your fifth pick, your mid-round picks, you should be able to identify value players that can come in and, you know, give your starters a breather, you know, and be able to get you a rotation on the defensive line. And the reason why I don't say rotation on the offensive line is because that group, you really don't want to break up. You need them to gel together. The defensive line, you can, you know, have a chance to get a rotation going. It's not going to affect it all that much. And even, you know, your linebackers, your secondary, you should be able to have a healthy rotation going. So you're going to need to be able to hit in those mid rounds to give you some value players. So you should be able to hit on them anywhere between, you know, 70 and 80% of the time. Your sixth and seventh round picks, probably there are only going to be about a 60 to 70% chance of, or even maybe more of a 50-50 chance in your sixth and seventh rounds. But still, you should be able to hit on a couple of players. Jerry Reese has been with us since 2007. His drafting, he hasn't been able to hit those middle and those late round picks. I mean, very few. And you can't build your team if you're not hitting those value players. So this was the time. And, you know, if you look at the Rhett Ellison contract and even bringing him in, yeah, he's a great blocking tight end. But his contract is a 4-year, I believe it's $18 million. That's insane for a blocking tight end. That's horrible. And to me, that shows that Jerry Reese was, oh, shit, I didn't address the offensive line again. Let me figure something out. So, to me, Rhett Ellison is a Band-Aid fix because, one, you didn't either trust Eric Flowers at left tackle, or, two, you didn't trust, at the time, would be Bobby Hart at the right tackle. So, you're bringing in Rhett Ellison as a crutch because we didn't have a fullback on the time when Rhett Ellison was signed because you guys decided to cut the fullback position and do away with it. So, and even, you know, the Brandon Marshall contract, it's all right, but I would have went more towards the veteran minimum. You know, Snacks, I love him. Great ball player. Creates havoc, you know, in the middle of the field. But I kind of do think, and some Giant fans are going to disagree with me, but I really think that they reached and they overpaid Snacks. You know, because he had the panic because Jonathan Hankins left, and now you're left with a big hole in the middle of your defense. And, you know, looking at Olivier Vernon, good player when he's on the field, but he hasn't been all that healthy. His contract, I think, is really overpaid. Janoris Jenkins, I can deal with that contract. Usually your, you know, top cornerbacks in the league are going to be, you know, you're going to have to reach on a little bit with the contracts. Going through looking at Eli Apple. And I had a very good conversation with, you know, one of my good friends who, you know, I go to games with. Eli Apple was the 10th pick in the draft. Richard Sherman was picked, you know, later in the draft. So what Jerry Reese is telling me is Eli Apple is better than Richard Sherman. Darrell Revis was you know, a late pick in the draft. You're telling me Eli Apple is better than Darrell Revis. You know, same thing with Cam Chandler. He was, you know, picked, you know, later on in the draft. You're telling me that Eli Apple is better than Cam Chandler? That's insane. Where they picked Eli Apple, and he was projected to go in the 20s to Pittsburgh, you took him at pick 10? And that comes into that, you know, the BPA draft, you know, the best player available. You got to stop. You can't run a draft like that. You got to stop that. If you need a right tackle, you draft a right tackle. If you need a running back, you draft a running back. You don't just draft a player because he's high on your board. You should really draft to need. And that's what Jerry Reese hasn't done. That's why we have the holes that we hold. That's why our offensive line is a complete joke. If you look at Dallas, I hate to give them credit because I just don't like Jerry Jones, but they got it right with that offensive line. They drafted offensive tackles. They drafted offensive guards to fill the holes that they had because their offensive line was bad. Jerry Reese failed to do that. Moving on to Ben McAdoo. You know, I don't know who listened to Mara, but, you know, he did say this firing was coming at season's end. My take on Ben McAdoo is that Willington Mara was afraid of the fan base and the backlash that was coming this Sunday at the stadium. And he figured, you know, more fans will probably come out if McAdoo and Reese are both gone. Because, you know, I was watching these protests that were getting organized, you know, outside of the stadium on Sunday. Ex-players were going to come wearing Eli jerseys and come and stand on the sidelines. You know, that the front office was getting hounded with phone calls and emails. You know, John Mara was getting emails. I know I emailed him at least once, and I called Jerry Reese at least once, and I called the ticket office once. So, you know, I think that John Mara got the point that we're done with Jerry Reese. We're over Ben McAdoo, and the way he handled Eli was a complete disaster. And I think John Mara realized that we weren't going to put up with his nonsense anymore. And the McAdoo firing had to happen, and had to happen now. As far as Eli is concerned, you know, as of today, after all said and is done, McAdoo in the front office caused, you know, storm for nothing, for absolutely nothing. They put this fan base in an uproar for no reason for 1 week, and Eli's expected to start this Sunday at home against Dallas. So you basically, you know, you poked a bear that you didn't need to poke. Just the fan base was already upset being, you know, 1-9 at that point, and then you're going to bench Eli, you know, who had the streak going, and, you know, it was important to a lot of fans because this was the one positive, one of the few positives we had in this season, and now you're taking it away from us. And, you know, as a Giants fan, I remember Dave Brown. I remember Kent Graham. I remember Danny Cannell. I remember Kerry Collins. Kerry Collins was a decent quarterback for us. Brown, Cannell, and Graham were awful. You know, and we didn't have a franchise quarterback after Phil Simms. You know, we had a, you know, a couple stays in the middle. We had Kerry Collins who was all right. He gave us a great season in 2000. You know, then we had Kurt Warner for a couple games. And then Eli comes. And he's been our man for 14 years for 210 games. And I think that the fan base was angered. And this outrage came from, it's like you're robbing us of our chance to properly say goodbye to Eli Manning. You know, if say he retired at the end of this year because he's, you know, he's fed up, he's done, he's whatever. You essentially robbed us of our chance to see Eli, you know, for the last four games of the season and to give us a chance to properly say thank you for the two Super Bowls. Thank you for being here for 14 years and taking every snap of every game and never complaining and finger pointed. And thank you for carrying the organization on your shoulders for 14 years. And I think that's where the outrage came from, is we were being robbed of that opportunity that, you know, we essentially deserve to have. And for this, basically for this, you know, for McAdoo to come in, this coach who really hasn't accomplished much in his career. You know, he came over from Green Bay. He had Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. You know, if you have an Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, it's very easy to run an offense. You know, so you're coming over here, essentially you've accomplished nothing. You're coming as an offensive coordinator. And now, you know, I personally think he was undermining Coughlin every step of the way and then moved himself into position as the head coach. You're going to bench our quarterback that has given us so much, has given the team so much, the organization so much. They've made so much money off of him. You're going to bench him for Geno Smith. Do you actually think that's going to sit well with the fan base? Really? I would be less upset if it was for Davis Webb, but I understand that Davis Webb, he hasn't been activated all season. He hasn't had any, you know, prime snaps. That's fine. I get it. But I still think there would be less of a backlash if Davis Webb started this past Sunday against Oakland than Geno Smith, because then we would have understand, okay, fine. You know, you look into the future. You want to see what your third round pick is going to give you, since we're going to have a top five pick, because we need to know, is Davis Webb the man after Eli, or do we have to go out and draft a quarterback this year with the top five pick? Then yes, I understand having Eli sit, but in the matter of that, it was explained to him was a slap in the face and totally disgusting. And that's where I lost all respect for this organization and this franchise, with the way that Eli was treated. It was basically a slap in the face to Eli, and it was a slap in the face to the fan base. And it was almost as if, you know, you just made Tom Coughlin the scapegoat 2 years ago. Now you're making Eli the scapegoat, and Eli has too much class to stand there and argue with you and say, you know, well, it's the coaching. Well, it's the play calling. Well, it's the offensive line. Eli just shrugs it off and goes and says, I have to play better. And, you know, this loss is on me. Instead of, you know, Terrell Owens route and blaming everybody under the sun. But, you know, that's where I am at the state of the Giants right now.
You said
I know I threw a lot at you.
Yeah, you said you lost a lot of respect for the Giants. Did this firing... two parts. Where was it very unexpected, or are you relieved, or is it more so? Is there anything kind of salvageable, knowing that the owner took ownership of decisions he signed off on? Is that something you could say? You know what? You could start earning the respect back. That process. Like, how do you feel about the situation as far as the reaction from the owner, and how do you feel as far as respect when it comes to the ownership at this point?
Once I lose your respect, it's going to take you a very long time to get it back. I'm just disgusted, you know, and you know, it doesn't have to be Eli Manning. This was Weston Richburg. If this was Justin Pugh, if this was Odell, you know, if this was, you know, Steve Weatherford or Emmanuel McDaniels or Sam Garns, if you give all you have to the organization and then you're given the Eli Manning treatment of what happened this week, it doesn't matter to the player. I would still lose a lot of respect for the organization, and it would take a very long time to get it back. Yes, this is a step in the right direction. But John Mara owes Eli Manning a huge apology. And I know Eli's not like that. He's just going to brush it off and, you know, it's part of the business. But John Mara owes Eli an apology. He really does. It's going to be a long time before I can really respect this franchise again. You know, it's just the way that Coughlin was handled, the way that Eli was handled, it just left a very, very sour taste in my mouth. And over time, it'll go away. You know, I feel a little better with, you know, listening to Mara today. But it's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of time.
What were the words from Mara's press conference that you could say, you know what, you could look at it in a favorable light? What is there anything that he said that you could say, I could live with what he said? Is there anything he did say that you still think is just unforgivable, or you just can't ride with?
You know, right when he had said that these firings were coming, and you know, he just felt as though it was in the best interest to do it now. Right there, I'm like, all right, you know, you're admitting that you guys screwed up. You've seen the outrage of the fan base. You've seen the frustration. You hear us. You know, when he had said these firings were coming at the end of the season, but this was the best time to do it now. You heard us. I felt as though you heard us. You see how aggravated we are. And you see how much we care about Eli and the organization. You know, so there it's, I get it. And I can feel comfortable that the right changes are coming. And then when, you know, he had said that Ernie Accorsi is going to come in as an advisor and help him with the GM search, I can relax because I trust Ernie Accorsi. And I know Ernie Accorsi is going to give John Mara the best possible advice and find us the best possible GM that is going to help turn this franchise around. So it's when he, you know, turned and, you know, it's to me, it's asking Ernie Accorsi for help. You know, we didn't listen to you, you know, the first time around in 2007, but we'll listen to you now and help us fix the franchise. And to me right there is where I can be at ease a little bit, because it's like Ernie's to the rescue to get this team fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of games ago, I want to say it was a Seattle game. I saw Chris Mara at the end of the game as he was leaving. You know, we had yelled to him, you know, we still believe. You know, you'll get it right. And he turned and says, we have no choice but to get it right. So I took it, you know, at that point that, you know, they're going to do what they have to do to get it fixed. And there's going to be moves coming and there's going to be drastic changes. And here we are today. We have Spags as the interim head coach. And we have Adams as the interim general manager, who is a great contract negotiator and has been with the Giants for a very long time as well. So, I mean, I think we're moving in the right direction. And just, you know, listening to Mara, you know, as he's talking with Mike Francesa, that, you know, it hurts him more than it does the fan base to see the team like this. And I truly do believe that it really does deep down hurt him. And, you know, he doesn't want to see us, you know, hurting and going through this. So I really, even the tone of his voice, I feel comfortable that this is going to get fixed. I do trust the Mara family to get this done and get it done right. But it's just the way that this last, you know, week and a day has played out that left a bitter taste in my mouth. But I think we're in the right direction. I think we're on the right path.
Does this mean you're still going back to the games? Does it mean you're still going to get you a ticket? Because I believe last time we had the discussion, you were going to be hesitant on going in or not. Does this change for the short term, for the next one or two home games left remaining? And then also, let me ask you this, as far as how do your thoughts and feelings compare to a lot of the the pulse of, let's say, there's a lot of Giant fans. Let's talk about the season ticket holders, other season ticket holders, other guys who are out there all the time. Like, how does your perspective, the conversations that you have with other Giant fans, like, are you guys in sync as far as how you feel of what's happened with the Blue?
It's 50-50. Some of us are. I'm going in on Sunday. What happened today? I'm going to go in because of what happened today. As of this point, I don't have a ticket for the Eagles or the Redskins game. Because I just didn't, you know, I'm not going in right now for that, but I am going in for Dallas. Some of the season ticket holders, and what people don't realize is invoiced, I believe, in March. It's either March or April, but I think it's March, you know, to pay your season ticket bill. So whatever your season ticket bill is, say it's $2,800 with your parking passes. You've already paid that money. The Giants already have that money. So they've made their money off of you. And you've already paid it. So by you not going in isn't hurting the Giants. It's just hurting you because you basically took, you know, two tickets that are $110 face value and you threw them in the garbage plus a $30 parking pass that you've paid for. So if you have a ticket and you don't go in, that's really not hurting it. It's not going to affect the Giants. The only thing that, you know, that would be down would be the concessions. Like, you know, if you're buying a hot dog, you're buying a beer, you're buying a soda or a cookie or whatever, or if, you know, you buy a yearbook or a hat or a hoodie or a shirt, that's the only time they're going to feel the effect a little bit is on the merchandise and the concession sales. Other season ticket holders that have been season ticket holders for a very long time that I know, they're not going in at all. Some of them sold their tickets. Others are just so frustrated and aggravated, they just don't care. They're going to come tailgate, hang out in the parking lot, and that's it. They're not going to bother going into the stadium. They'll have their ticket with them. If somebody wants to buy it, they'll sell it, but they're not. There's a good portion of them not going in because of what happened. And even after today, you know, I spoke to a couple of them. They're still not going in, which is, you know, that's their choice. And, you know, the other side of the season ticket holders are like, we already paid our money. We might as well just go and just deal with it. So it kind of depends who you're talking to ticket-wise. I'm going to go in. You know, I know when we talked on Friday, I said I wasn't. But I felt as though, you know what, I could do more good in the stadium doing nothing but chanting Eli Manning's name for, you know, 2 hours as the game's going on. And, you know, being part of the, you know, fan base that, you know, gets our voices heard to the Giants as, you know, we're chanting Eli's name all game.
Well, since that, because of that decision by the owner, John Mayer, if you put a grade on it, would you put a satisfactory response from him in his news conference that it probably reached more of the masses? But asking you directly, I know we were big on the real respect thing as far as long-term,
yeah,
but short-term, you're able to get by. You could live. He sounded very accountable, but how did you take it? Was it really sincere to the fan base? You think he was bullshitting fans, or you think he really means what he says with the firing? Was it the firing knee jerk? Because, you know, the Giants don't really fire guys in the mid-season since 40 years. So was it more about the money, or is it more about he really sincerely trying to do this for the fans, or a combination of both? How do you feel that where his heart really lies, or his mind? And how did you feel about anything else about that press conference?
Well, to me, actions speak louder than words. I think this is a Band-Aid. on top of a wound to close it or to, you know, help clot the bleeding. He did sound sincere from what, you know, I was able to listen to, because it's just hard to listen to WFAN at work. And, you know, it does resonate with me only because the Giants never fire a coach in season. They've never fired a general manager. And to do it now, it speaks to me that this is un-Mara-like, this is un-Giants-like. They want this fixed now, and they don't want to wait until, you know, Black Monday of the NFL. They want it fixed now. I personally wouldn't be surprised if we have a new general manager by wild card weekend. I really wouldn't be. I think Mara has a list of names that he wants to interview candidate-wise. I think once him and Ernie Accorsi sit down and go over that list, I'm sure Ernie has a list of names that he would recommend. But I would say wild card weekend, I wouldn't be surprised if we have a new general manager. And, you know, with that today, I'm going in because, not because of the money, but I feel as though that Wilmington, that John Mara, you know, gave me that you can feel better, we got this, we'll fix it. Just relax and be comfortable, we'll take care of it. That's why I'm going in. I do feel as though he was sincere, because I know he doesn't like to lose. Nobody does. But what reached me was the two firings today in season. This is why I'm going in, because I can be at ease that this is going to get addressed and we're not going to have these problems next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was actually, me personally, and I'll go back to you real quick. I was surprised really at the Reese. The McAdoo sort of, because too many people really believed that the McAdoo was too much overbearing for him to go. I think that was really right down the line, but the Reese one really actually did shock me a little bit. But you can't throw a baby without the bathwater, so I get it. But that was really shocking to really realize that that actually did happen, and knowing this franchise's history, that they went that route. And they needed to go that route. So that was actually a great move, because you need every time in the world to really make the right hire going forward to make the right pick. What other things, let's see, what about the state of the Worm? What about Worm the fan? Outside of the stuff with the press conferences and firings, you still represent blue. You've been a long-time fan.
I'm still repping every day.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go back for the rest of the season, and I'm not wearing my Worm jersey for the rest of the games. I'm going to be wearing No, I'm wearing my Eli Manning jersey.
Oh, I
see. I'm still doing the Worm in the parking lot. I'm just going to have it, you know, I'm going to have Eli's jersey on because, you know, I support the Giants, and I support Eli Manning, and whoever a quarterback may be, that, you know, I'll support them that week. But, you know, I grew up with Eli Manning as my quarterback. My loyalty is with Eli Manning, and I want to make it a point that, you know, you need to treat a person with a certain level of respect. And Eli wasn't given any respect over the last couple days to a week. And, you know, I think it's only fitting that, you know, we give him his support since he's supported us over the years. One thing I did want to touch on is Eli's future.
Okay.
I'm seeing a lot of fans, you know, trade Eli for draft picks. Okay. Release Eli. He's washed up. Okay. If people would take a moment to, you know, do a little research on cap math, next year, pre-June 1st, Eli accounts for $16.4 million in the dead money cap hit against the cap. Nobody in their right mind is going to take a $16.4 million cap hit to trade a player or release a player. That's not happening. Post June 1st, it would be, I believe it's a 6.4 hit against the cap in dead money. So in any way to release or trade Eli in 2018, if a GM were to do that, you know, whether it's Eli or any quarterback, if a GM does that, they're going to be fired 5 minutes later. No team can take a 16.4 cap hit. And, you know, the team that, you know, picks up that player, they don't assume that cap hit. It stays with his original team. So that cap hit's not moving with the player. You know, if you were to say, you know, release or you know, trade Eli Manning, 2019 would be the year that you would do it, only because it would only be a 6.4 post June 1st cap hit with the, you know, the dead money that counts against your cap, but they would save 17.6 in cap space. Personally, Eli's not going anywhere. He has the no trade clause, which is the number one factor. The guy's not going to waive it. He isn't. So Eli Manning's going to be our quarterback through 2019. 2020, when he's a free agent, whatever he does, that's his decision. But he'll be here at least until 2019. Now, I know people, they'd like to touch on landing spots for Eli Manning, which is kind of comical for me. I hear, you know, a lot of people talking about Denver. Well, Denver's defense is a joke. Denver hasn't won a game since we've beaten them. And if you're a 37-year-old quarterback, you're not going to go to a team that's in basically a rebuild mode. You want to go to a team that's Super Bowl ready now. So which brings Jacksonville. Tom Coughlin is there. Yes, Tom Coughlin was the first coach that Eli's had in the NFL. But they have Blake Bortles as their quarterback. And the Jags are winning right now with Blake Bortles. I don't see any GM that has their quarterback. The team is winning. They're not going to trade for a 37-year-old quarterback that's on the back end of his career when they have a younger quarterback and they're winning games now. And especially if they get into the playoffs, which I don't see why they wouldn't. You're not making a quarterback change. That's nuts. So, you know, that's what I wanted to touch on Eli was, is, you know, his current contract with the Giants and why you can't trade him. And, you know, the two landing spots that people have been talking about, he's not going anywhere. I can say that with certainty. Eli Manning is a Giant through the 2019 season. And that would be why. Yeah, I guess that's all I really had on Eli.
All right. We have a couple more minutes. Right. If there's any final takes that you would like to say, final words on your episode of Spotlight that you haven't said, and let everybody know how you could be reached if they want to on your social media platforms.
All right. You know, a couple things that I've noticed now is the coaches that can replace McAdoo. Here's a couple names you can cross off the list. One is Gruden. He's not leaving the box. He has a nice, easy career up in the box. He's not leaving. Bill Cowher. He's too old. He's not leaving CBS. Harbaugh at Michigan. He's not a New York Giants coach. He doesn't fit that typical Giants mold. And with him, in order to bring him here, you have to buy him out of Michigan for $20 million. John Mara's not buying him out for $20 million. Nick Saban, another fan favorite. He's not leaving Alabama. He's basically a god in Alabama. He has his kingdom built. He's not leaving. And his first go-around in the NFL wasn't that great. Steve Spagnuolo, I know he's our interim head coach. In order for him to even be considered, he would have to go 4-0 and bring the Giants to a 6-10 record to, I think, even be considered on the list of possible head coaches to lead the Giants through the 2018 season. Coaches you could look at. Mike Smith, ex-Atlanta head coach. He's a Coughlin disciple. He was with Tom Coughlin his first go-around in Jacksonville. Josh McDaniels. He's from the Bill Parcells tree. You know, as he's been under Bill Belichick. He's an up-and-coming head coach. If you want to go offensive-minded head coaches, you can take a look at the Eagles offensive coordinator, Frank Reich. He's got the Eagles offense soaring. Be a nice pick if you want to try to, you know, fix up the offense. Another one you can go is Pat Shurmur. He's more of, you know, aggressive, you know, attack down the field. That's the type of offense that Eli would excel in is getting a deep ball. If you want to go defensive-minded head coaches, which I kind of think Mara's going to lean towards because he wants to get that defense fixed, you can go to D coordinator from Cincinnati. He's an aggressive play caller, which would fit our defensive personnel like a glove. You can take a look at Jim Schwartz if you want to, you know, give a guy a, you know, a second time around with a new team. Another great defensive, you know, minded coach who his personnel style would fit what we have, you know, on the defense. Another interesting person you could look at is Rob Marinelli, the coordinator for Dallas. Considering what Jerry Jones has given him to work with over the last couple of years, or should I say lack of to work with personnel-wise, he's done a pretty damn good job with the Cowboys defense. Another person would be, I know he's cooled off in, you know, talks of being a head coach because of the way their defense has been playing this year, is Matt Patricia. He does have Bill Belichick as a mentor. So I'm kind of thinking if Mara's going to really lean to fix this team, he's probably going to look towards the defensive side of the ball. You know, because traditionally and historically, the Giants have always had that strong defense, and they usually carry the teams. Possible GM replacements. You can look at George Patton from the Vikings, who helped rebuild that Vikings defense, and which is one of my, you know, favorite defenses in the league. Scott Paoli would be great if you wanted to pair him up with Mike Smith, if you wanted to go an offensive-minded head coach. Nick Caserio, he's great at picking those value players that Jerry Reese wasn't able to, and he's savvy enough to turn one pick and trade back into several picks in one round, and you're able to grab multiple players. One that's probably is going to be the front runner and, you know, probably fan favorite that everybody will know would be Dave Gettleman, who was one of the architects, you know, behind the 2017, you know, when he later went on to Carolina as their GM. That's going to probably be the one name that stands out to our fan base because they're going to know Dave Gettleman. General managers that you can cross off the list right now. Coughlin. I know people want Coughlin back, but there's no way that he's going to make a lateral move into a GM position with the Giants when he has it nice and cushy down there in Jacksonville, Florida, where he doesn't really have there's not high expectations placed on him. You know, and he's relaxing down there and he's beautiful Florida home. He doesn't have to deal with the pressures of, you know, handling, you know, a major market team like the Giants.
All right. We got to go. Hold on, man. We're out of time. You let everybody know how you could be reached. The Worm on Facebook, correct?
Yeah, it's just easier to hit up The Worm or Frank Oliver on Facebook. I don't really check my Instagram account much or my Twitter. Uh-oh. Just hit me up on Facebook. I'm on that religiously. But I do use my Twitter page on and off, but more Facebook than anything.
All right, cool. Dude, man, thank you. Right. Thank you again for coming on again to really the spotlight, a second take for featuring yourself pretty much with your barbecue sauce, how you feel as a fan of the New York Giants, head coach and general manager recommendations from yours truly, The Worm, man. Thank you very much, sir, for coming on, man.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Oh, man, of course, man. This episode of Stakeholder Spotlight, this episode is actually on the website of BleedBlueShow.com, or also you could download it on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. All right, Warren, we'll definitely hear from you on and do another Spotlight with you in the future, man. Look forward to talking with you, man.
All right. I'll see you. I'll talk to you Thursday night.
He's out there. Yeah, he's out there pissing off other Giant fans on the World Wide Web.
You got it.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.